Cloudcast Media.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Good day out there, veterans and families, and welcome to Season 2 of Your Next Mission Podcast, a program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major in the Army, and your host, and we have a great show for you. In fact, we have a wonderful show for you today. We're going to talk about some stuff that's going to educate each one of you about your disability, and I'm excited to get started with that. But before we get started, if you're watching this on YouTube, please like us and hit that subscribe button. For the next 20 subscribers, I'm going to give you something special. It's a Your Next Mission t-shirt, but you got to do one thing. Got to leave a comment below down there and let us know where to send that t-shirt. We're going to focus today on veterans benefits, and I'm excited to get into the discussion. But now before we get started, I want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans, for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families. And if you haven't heard me before, we love them too. There's no question about that. As I mentioned, today's theme is about veterans benefits. And I'm really so excited. I mean, this young lady that we're going to bring on here is motivated. She's dedicated to help veterans and families out. And certainly she's a good friend. And so let me introduce to you a friend of mine, Kimberly Wendell, Military Service Coordinator at the Department of Veterans Affairs and a former career counselor for the Secretary of the Army. I'm not sure if I've ever met anyone who is more passionate and of taking care of soldiers than Kimberly does. And so welcome, Kimberly. So good to have you on the show.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. I appreciate that. And thank you for the invitation. It's an honor and a privilege to actually be able to come and actually give some information to our veterans and our service members that are getting ready to transition off active duty to help them walk through the path as they need to when they're doing their transition.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's so many people that are just frustrated about that process and really don't understand the process. Hey, you know, Kimberly, I know everybody wants to hear about what you have to say, and I know I do. But before we do that, can you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Yes, Sergeant Major. I'm a retired Master Sergeant, like Sergeant Major had said. I spent about 22 years in the Army. My last 12 were as a career counselor, and I was a career counselor of the year for the Army back in 2004. So I got to be the privilege of doing that. And then I've been with the VA now almost 10 years, doing claims, taking care of veterans, as well as service members that transition out of the active component into the civilian sector. I actually, my main focus and my job is to take care of soldiers that are being medically boarded off of active duty due to injury, illness, or condition.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the things, and we'll get into just a second. Not many people know about their benefits.
Correct. And that's the big thing is education is power, and especially when it comes to the VA and the VA benefits and what all is available to our veterans once they do that transition process and become a civilian and are now a veteran.
Yeah. You know, Kimberly, the process of understanding the benefits of a military service member's family is certainly very difficult for all of our service members to understand. And it's really pretty extensive just to understand all the things that you're entitled to. To get into the discussion, how should a service member prepare to understand their benefits a little bit more before they ever get out of the service?
Well, the first thing that they need to do is once they decide that they know they're going to elect to transition out of active duty, whether it be via retirement after 20 plus years of active federal service or just separate with the ETS. And they go through what we call our SFL TAP process. And during the SFL TAP process, they have a veterans benefit briefing that they go through where we have VA contractors that actually do a briefing with them and go over all the basic needs and wants and things like that, so they understand what's out there for them once they do start that transitioning process. So normally about a 2 year out is what I would always recommend for anybody that's deciding whether or not they're going to separate or not. And also in retirement, that's when you could drop for your retirement papers on the active duty side. At that 2 year mark, you need to start making sure that anything that has happened to you while you've been in the military, i.e. an injury, an illness, or a condition, make sure that it's diagnosed properly and it's in your medical records and that you have documentation to verify that diagnosis. So that's what this, that's where I would start at, is the 2 year mark out from your separation date.
So that 2 year out, you can apply. I know once you apply for retirement, you can start that disability process, right?
Right. 6 months from your separation date is when we can actually file for the claim itself and get you your exams that we call through QTC, which is the SHA transition exam that we do with our clients that are coming off active duty. So 6 months, 180 days from the separation date, not from your transition leave date, from your actual retirement date. 180 days prior to that, we can file the claim.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. So if I want to start the process 2 years out, I could get my physical, I could do all that stuff, but I could not apply for disability until it's 6 months out. Is that right?
Correct. That is correct, Sergeant Major. So anything that you've put off, not had been seen for and should have been seen for, you can start getting seen for it and getting documented by going to the doctor, having the different evasive procedures done, i.e. x-rays, MRIs, colonoscopy, any of those type of things that most of us usually just kind of ignore and wait till the last minute before we have to do those things. So getting those done, that gives you that 2 year window to actually start building your medical record up, the things that you've lagged on.
Yeah. Let's take it just a little bit step farther. You know, when it relates to service disability and diagnosis and separation of physical and all that stuff, where do you go? Who do you talk to?
First of all, obviously your PCM is your key. Going and seeing your PCM, having the condition diagnosed, i.e., like a back injury, making sure that you've had, the proper x-rays done. And if x-rays only shows the bone, you need to go into more in depth to get an MRI done that shows more of your muscle and ligaments and more extensive to where the arthritis is actually bothering you at. And then from there, if there's a nerve conduction test need to be done, then that can get scheduled as well. The PCM is your key right there, or your primary doctor is what I'm speaking of, Sergeant Major.
Yeah. Could you, the other thing that's really confusing for people, I know this may not been one of the questions I was going to ask you, but it's really confusing when you get your disability claim, you get 10% for this and 10% for this and 10% for that. How does that work out?
So how the process starts for what compensation purposes is they take the whichever one is the highest first, and it starts, we all start with 100%, and then you get subtracted from that 100% down. There's a lot of things that come into play with that, like the bilateral factor that gets, if there's bilateral knees, bilateral ankles, bilateral shoulders, there's a 1.9% that gets added onto each one of those bilateral factors, depending upon if you have it, the different body parts. So it's not your common sense math is what I'm trying to say. The compensation math is a little hard to explain. I have to do it on paper to show you, as opposed to actually, sitting down with it, because it is a lot. It's very, very intricate on the parts of how you actually subtract it out.
Yeah, there's always a lot of people are really confused about all that stuff, about how to. You probably get a lot of complaints about, hey, this either doesn't seem fair or something's wrong.
Right. Yeah. So, and there's not only on the installation, when you're getting ready to do that transition process, most installations that are active duty installations, they have what we call the military services coordinator, just like myself. And they usually are co-located near the SFL TAP for the most part, not always, but for the most part. And they're there to help you file the claim. You know, you claim, you tell us what you want to claim, and we let you know that, yes, you know, that's what we'll order exams for and stuff like that, when we sit down and actually do the claim for you. So we actually go from head to toe over all your conditions, ask questions to you, and make sure that we don't miss anything when you do that initial claim. The important part for the individual service member or veteran is to make sure that it's documented while they've been on active duty. And that's the biggest feat right there, is if it's not been active duty, if it's not been documented through active duty medical personnel and not diagnosed, and that, then it's very, very hard for us to, one, service connected, and two, be able to give you compensation for it based upon the injury that you have.
Yeah. Is there a time limit where you can't go? Say I was out of the service 40 years. And then I went back to apply. It's in my record, so it's still okay for me? I can still get compensated for it?
There is no time limit on when you can file for a claim. You can file for a claim clear up until the day you pass away. Oh, wow. So a veteran that is there, as long as they have the, you know, the claim in place and it's already been submitted, then we can go in and see. We look at the medical records that we have on record and the medical records that the veteran may send in to us as well for documentation. And that's how we can determine on whether it can be service connected related back to their active service, and then service connection. And if it meets the compensatory guideline, then they can be compensated for it at that point in time. Our Vietnam veterans are the biggest ones that we see that come in that have never filed a claim, but now are having what we have, the presumptive conditions. Just a few to name are like diabetes or congestive heart failure. You know, they served in Vietnam, boots on the ground, and that way we can presumptive that out of their service while they were in Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah. The one thing before we talk about something. Kimberly, could you tell the audience, do you still do the electric slide?
Yes, sir, Major.
Hey, all right. Well, I know I get a chuckle out of that one there. We're talking with Ms. Kimberly Wendell, Military Service Coordinator at the VA. And if you're listening to your Next Mission podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. And don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, please like us and click on that subscribe button below. Kimberly, continue on the discussion. Let's talk about benefits due our veterans, especially those that have been out of the service for a while. What's the most important consideration for veterans must know about he or she when they apply for that disability? Is there something they should know? Like I said before, if you're out 20 years, is there something they should know about applying for those benefits? How should they go about it, I guess?
There is no time limit, Sergeant Major, on when you file a claim, based upon, you know, when they got out of service. So they can file a claim clear up until the day they pass away. So, you know, any time that they feel that they deserve to be, you know, being taken care of, then most definitely I would recommend that they, you know, either go see a veteran service organization, i.e. the Disabled American Veterans, Veterans of Foreign Wars, American Legion. We have Wounded Warrior Project. There are many, many, many service organizations out there, and they have what we call veteran service officers. And what they do is they're there to help that veteran file their claim, make sure they have all the documentation that they need when they are filing the claim, and they do the claim process for them and get it sent in to us so we can get it rated.
Yeah. Hey, can you tell me, you know, when you separate from the service, you get either get 50%, either more or less. Is there an appeal process? Oh, now, I mean, if I got less than 50%, what do I get? If I get more than 50%, what do I get? And can I appeal whatever they gave me, I guess?
Yes.
Not anytime. I guess. I want to know. Anyway.
if you don't agree with the decision that they've made on your claim, you have an appeals process that you go through, and it will be in the letter that we send to you with your ratings. On if you don't agree with anything and you have more documentation that you could submit and have it to be reconsidered or relooked at. And in any case, with the 50%, what you're speaking about are our service members that have the active federal service of 20 years plus, and they've decided to retire, if they get less than 50% overall from the VA, they can file for an additional compensation that the DOD provides for them, which is combat-related special monthly compensation, which is what we call CRSC. And that is based upon what may have been incurred in or training up to for combat. So that's only for 50% and less. Anything above 50%, we have what we call concurrent receipt. So what that means for a retiree is they get their full disability and they get their full retirement. They don't have to waiver their VA disability from their actual retirement pay. Below 50%, that 50% is subtracted from their retirement annuity, and that portion of it is not taxed from that, because disability is not a taxed income. It's an actual compensation pay.
Well, it seems to me that the smart thing is get over 50%, I guess, is a smart one. Yeah.
Amen.
If you get over for 50% too, I think all your medication and all that stuff and everything is free from the VA, isn't it?
Correct. If you're above 50%, you could be seen at the VA for all of your health care needs. Anything below 50%, they only see you for what you were service connected for. So say you have 60% and you can't get into your regular PCM and you are having issues with your back, you can call the VA, get a scheduled appointment with your PCM team that you're assigned in the VA system, and they can see you and treat you and take care of you. And like you said, the medications, any medications that's in the VA formulary, you can receive from the VA at no cost to the veteran.
Yeah. This is probably a crazy question. I know the answer to this question. What about a military spouse? Is there anything that she's entitled to or she can have assistance with in the VA?
Military spouses, for the veteran, they can receive aid in attendance to help with their veteran that may have a disability that needs to be, they have to be taken care of, i.e. fed or bathed or, you know, constant care. So there's a little bit more compensation that they'd be entitled to with the aid in attendance. That comes through their PCM on the VA side of the house. The PCM can put them in for that, and they can request that through the benefit side for the veteran.
Yeah. What's the biggest thing that you said? I think I asked that question before. What's the biggest thing that people probably maybe mess up on a little bit that they should do and they don't do? Is there anything that...
Go to the doctor.
Is that really?
And, you know, a lot of our veterans, you know, they say, you know, that they have, you know, an injury or an illness or a condition that they think that was incurred while they were on active duty, but there's no documentation to verify or prove that it happened to them while they were in service because they never went and was seen for it. That's where I'm sure people have heard of the Buddy Lay statements can come into play. That is used as documentation for us to verify the injury occurred in while they were on active duty.
Explain to me what
Buddy Lay statement. Yeah. That is a statement that an individual, another service member witnessed, you know, an injury, like a service member ran over with a water buffalo, run over his foot, broke his foot, never went to the doctor, but should have, never was seen for it by the medical personnel, but now is having issues with it years later down the road. He can go back to that individual with social media, obviously, and say, hey, would you mind writing me a buddy statement, a reference to the injury that happened back at Fort Hood when we were out in the training exercise, when that water buffalo ran over my foot? And the buddy says, sure. And he writes a statement up. He can submit that with his claim to show that, yes, he was on active duty when that injury or illness or condition happened, and we can verify that and possibly service connect it with that Buddy Lay statement and not have any medical documents.
Do you need more than one statement? I mean, if something like that happened, do you need just one or two or three?
More is always better. I will tell you, you know, documentation always seems to be the key here. So yes, if there was more than two or three different individuals that seen it happen or witnessed it, the incident happened, then yes, I would recommend them getting as many witness statements as they can and submitting those with their claim for that injury or illness.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you guys, whoever's listening out there today, please, I tell you what, I've given you a number, call me, text me, do whatever you want. And we need to get questions for Kimberly to try to answer them, to assist you in some way, because she's just a wealth of knowledge, and she wants to help all of us, you know, all of our family, all of our veteran community. She wants to do all she can to help you. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Your Next Mission Podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by the Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults. Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at PurdueGlobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for five straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at VeteransUnited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. I'm the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley. We're blessed to be here today with Kimberly Wendell, Military Service Coordinator from the Department of Veterans Affairs. I almost missed that right there. And I want our listeners to reach out to me directly. Tell us about your transition. You know, we're talking about transition and medical disability and stuff. There's a lot of stuff that goes along with that we just don't know about. Tell us about what topics you like to cover. You remember, I tell people all the time, it's not my show, it's our show. It's about changing lives and helping people, helping our veteran community. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll actually reach out to you. Or you can send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off. Kimberly, we're heading into our final segment with you today, and I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. And I just have a couple more questions. The first thing I'm going to ask you, we're going to go back to that question we was talking about, the 50-50. And you just told me something I thought was very interesting. I never thought about it. Each state has, you know, different things that they can give it based on states, I guess. That was the question, right? Oh, that was it. What you were just telling me, right? Yeah.
Yes, Sergeant Major. Yes, each state has different benefits that they provide to their disabled veterans based upon their percentage level. Most of the states, I think, start at 50% is the baseline for them to give out different incentives for them to stay in that state and be a retiree or stay a veteran in that state. I live in the state of Oklahoma, and I have to say and toot our own horn that Oklahoma is probably the best veterans friendly and retiree friendly state for our veterans and service members that decide to retire and stay in Oklahoma. 50% or higher. You can register two vehicles for $6.50 at the DMV. At 60%, you can get your hunting and fishing license at a reduced rate. And then obviously at the 100% level, we have the state benefits of sales tax exemption, property tax exemption, and excise tax exemption, as well as there are educational benefits for our service members' dependent children. At the 100% level, permanent and total disability, they are entitled to what we call 36 months of educational assistance to help them pay for their education at the 100% level. So, you know, obviously, you know, everybody wishes to be 100%. Not everybody has the conditions or the injuries or illnesses that warrant 100%. But if there are, you know, the state benefits that can help out as well. Also, too, being a retiree in the state of Oklahoma, up to $10,000 of your retired pay, or 75% of the retired pay, whichever is higher of those two, is exempt from what we call state tax. So you don't pay any state income tax on your retirement pay. So that's a nice incentive for retirees to look at when you're deciding on where strategically you want to locate once you retire from the Army.
Yeah. And not just the Army, but all services.
Kimberly, all services,
maybe
the Army.
Yeah, well, being Army, yeah, I got you. Hey, look here. So I'm getting out of the service, and I'm going to move to Oklahoma. So where do I find all that information you're telling me about? I mean, where do I check and find out, get smart about this stuff?
VA.gov is a wealth of knowledge. There's a lot of different things that you can go through and see what's available to you throughout the VA, whether it's that, because the VA is broken down into three different entities. There's the benefits side, which is where I work, the VBA, then we have the VHA, which is our healthcare side, which is ones that take care of us for healthcare needs. And then we have the National Cemetery Association, which is where we, you know, our veterans are laid to rest when that time comes. So there's three legs of the VA that actually is there. So the state benefits, if you go into va.gov, you can pull up the state benefits by what state you're looking at to reside in and see what they offer their actual individual veterans and the different levels of percentage for disability.
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot of great information right there. And so again, so you guys are listening out there, make sure that, could you say that website again, where they can go and find out where the benefits of time are? Because I don't know if I've ever talked to anybody who sort of puts that information out. The website where I can go and get assistance, find what's available for my state to help me with my benefits and entitlements.
It's called va.gov, just very simple, va.gov. And then in there, you could pull up the, when you go into the search menu, just hit state benefits. Based upon what state that you live in, and then it pulls up the map. You can click on the state, and it'll tell you exactly what's available for your veteran benefits.
That's good stuff.
You can also find your healthcare facilities there. I mean, like I said, the va.gov is a great tool for veterans to have in their hip pocket just when anything comes to the VA.
Or you can also, even if you're looking for a home buy a home, is that the same website if you're going to buy a
yes.
home or get assistance?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Get your home.
Yeah. Last question we got on something else, because you keep talking and keep thinking about stuff. The we always hear a lot of stuff that says the VA isn't helping people and it's really a pain in the, whatever. I went to the VA, and I've been going to VA probably for the last 2 or 3 years. When I initially got out of the service, I did not go to the VA. Is that a myth, or is the VA doing a good job? Or from your opinion, I'm sure in Oklahoma they're doing a great job. But from your opinion, do you think the VA does a pretty good job?
I think overall we've come a long ways in the VA system, both healthcare-wise and benefit-wise. We do have a backlog right now because we've opened up another extension on some presumptives with our Vietnam veterans. So some of the claims are taking a little bit longer because it's a little bit more intense when it comes to the rating process for that. But the healthcare side, I retired in 07, and I've been a VA on the VA healthcare side since 08 is when I started, actually, when I registered and got into the healthcare system. So I have a PCM team on my VA side, and I have a PCM with my TRICARE. And I use them both, and whichever one that can get me in the quickest on whatever the need is at that time is who I use. So I encourage anyone that is receiving disability, if you've not registered with VA healthcare, to go ahead and get that done. And all you have to do is go to the actual closest VA clinic or the VA hospital, the VA medical centers that we have throughout the United States, to get registered in the healthcare system. And then they'll assign you to what they call a PCM team, which is your primary care team. And then they'll get you initial intake exam for you to go through. And that's when I recommend taking all of your medications that you take with you to that initial appointment and seeing what's in the VA formulary. And then that if you were paying a copay, say with TRICARE, for that medication, and the VA can provide it for you for free, why not switch it and use the VA for that purpose there?
Yeah. I think the other thing, you always hit a lot of good points. Make sure you register. Because I think there's a lot of people that just don't register with the VA. Is that correct?
Yes. And that is a lot of it. You can also do the registration online. You could find your VA healthcare facility online in the va.gov as well. So you'll know which one's closest to you. And normally when you put in your zip code, it will pull up about a 50-mile radius unless you extend it out past that. And so I'm the type of person, when I tell my veterans, especially my elderly veterans, try and get as close as possible to your home that you can with the VA. And if the VA doesn't have anything available, we also have what we call the choice health or choice VA, which they can send you downtown into the civilian sector and pay for it based upon your service connection disability.
Yeah, well, that's it's good stuff. It's getting connected with the VA. I think it's extremely smart to do it, but make sure you do it. Register on the VA. Let's talk about survivor. Yeah, it is important. Let's talk about survivor benefits. So many times military families are lost and just don't know what to do when a veteran passes away. Can you talk a little bit about survivor benefits?
I guess
the B and death indemnity compensation. I don't think they all much of that.
Yeah, the survivor benefits is for our veterans that are retirees from the military services. At their retirement, they have an election. The spouse is the one that makes the election on whether or not they're going to take it. And they pay basically an annuity for 30 years for it to have the survivor benefits. So what the survivor benefits is there if the veteran passes, the spouse would be entitled to a percentage. I think it's 55% is the baseline for it. Of their retirement annuity that the veteran was receiving, so that individual spouse could receive that as a benefit if their service member passes before them. Then on the VA side, we have what we call death and indemnity compensation, which is the DIC claim. A DIC claim is for our disabled veterans that if they pass away from a service-connected disability, that their spouse could possibly be entitled to the DIC pension or annuity that we have. And DIC, depending upon what is on the death certificate, is how we make the determination on whether it's a service-connected death. It may be a secondary. There's a possibility that it could be a secondary to a service-connected disability that they're receiving disability from. Or if they are 100% permanent in total, then it doesn't. The death of what the cause of death is not a factor. They can be entitled to DIC, and they would come to the casualty assistance office on the installation that they may be near, and the casualty assistance office does the funeral arrangements for them at the National Cemetery, and then also brings them over to our office in the VA, and we do the DIC claim for the widow at that time.
Wow. Hey, Kimberly, we're just about finished. I could probably talk to you for a couple hours. Give us again the website. Is it just va.gov if they need a
va.gov?
Yeah,
that's the main website. It used to be the e-benefits, what we all used to know as e-benefits. It's all moved over to the va.gov, and that's where everything is there.
So when I get on the va.gov, there's a picture of Kimberly says, come talk to me. Is that what it is?
No, I wish, Sergeant Major.
Okay. Are there any final thoughts that you want to share with the audience? I mean, you covered a lot of great stuff. And for the people that are listening, if you haven't listened, you got to go back and play this show again. Any final thoughts, something you just want to tell all the veteran community?
The biggest thing I think, Sergeant Major, to take away from this is don't get discouraged. Don't give up. There are people out there like me that do care and that do want to help those individual veterans when they come in and ask for help and want to file for a claim. The important thing is, making that first step in actually filing a claim. The other things that, go along with that, the benefits that come along with that, it just makes it easier for you and your family as time goes by and as we age. Everything tends to go south, as I say, and a lot of people look at me kind of funny when I say that, but, we're not getting any younger, and, our conditions do tend to get worse. So, if you need to go in for an increase or you have another condition that possibly could be secondary to something that you are currently service connected for, ask for help. Ask them to help you file a claim for that. That's the best, information I could give out is, don't be afraid to ask. That's the important thing.
Yeah. Well, Kimberly, just for the people who are listening, Kimberly's working on my disability, and I want you to keep working on it, Kimberly.
You got it, Sergeant Major.
Hey, look here. Thanks to Kimberly Wendell, and I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major. I mean, you've been listening to Your Next Mission podcast, and if you haven't learned anything today, you're sleeping, because there's a lot of good information out there. Thank you for listening today. Please visit our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. As I always say, I hope it's a good review, but it's a bad one, I can take that too. You can also visit our partners there who will provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military. Also, please Visit our corporate partners and see all the jobs that are available for you. Please know we want to assist you any way we can. I'm going to say that again. Please know we want to assist you in any way we can. Please, again, I never thought I'd ever say this. Please follow me on all my personal media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn. And if you've enjoyed our discussion with Kimberly, please click on the like us, on that like button, on the subscribe button down there and follow us. We're going to give out a special gift, some T-shirts. And we're going to give out for the next 20 subscribers, we're going to give you some Your Next Mission T-shirts. But you got to do something. You got to leave a little comment down there so we know how to get a hold of you. Okay. Don't forget, if you want to hear from me, please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Now, the real funny thing about that, I'll actually contact you back. Again, thanks again to Kimberly Wendell for being with us today. It was just great having you on the podcast. And I'm going to leave you with three things. Every time I talk to you, I want to leave you with three things. We're dedicating season two of Your Next Mission to our veterans and family members who struggle with mental illness, which so often leads to someone taking their own life. And I've told, if you listened before, I've told you that here recently I've had a few of my friends take their life. And it just breaks my heart. And it really breaks my heart because I think, what should have I done a little bit differently? And I think the thing I should have did was reach out to them, check on them. I call it a buddy check. See if they're okay. It means a lot. Sometimes life's going good for you, but it's not going good for everybody. So be a part of the life. We're all part of one family. No matter if you served in the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, or Space Force, or whatever, we're all veterans, and we all need to help each other. Second, I'm proud to serve in the military. You can see right now, if you're watching, I got my Army hat on. I'm proud to be a soldier. But I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I want you to wear your service cap, whatever service you're in, every Friday. Show your colors. That's what I tell people. Show your colors. And if you like it, if you take a photo, I'm sure you're going to like it, but take a photo, send it to me. And again, I'll put it on my social media channels. And last, everybody in the military learns so much about leadership, about how to lead and how to work with people. So I want to encourage everyone who's listening, reach out to your neighbor, somebody that didn't serve in the military. Offer them a smile or a helping hand. Together, let's try to bridge that divide that has affected so many of us. Again, thanks for listening, and thanks to Cloudcast Media, and of course, our four presenting sponsors, Calvert Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. We appreciate all you do for our military. See you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.
Cloudcast Media.